You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in and listening to The Real Short Box. My name is Donald. I'm the only one, apparently.
Kevin, I thought you were going to go. Oh, usually it's Donald, Kevin, Jarrett.
Oh, my name is Dr. Kevin.
Oh, good for you.
And I'm just Jarrett now. I don't care anymore.
Right? Life is meaningless.
Life is, I just wish I could just get a second print of life. Oh, wait. I can. And then I could jack up the price and sell it because that really creases my pages.
Yes, we are having another What Creases My Pages topic, and this is facsimile reprints. This is stupid torn out pages being sold for ridiculous amounts of money. This is second and third and fourth and fifth print selling for absurd amounts of cash. This is bullshit.
Yeah. So I gotta say, out of the things we've covered so far, newsstand versus direct editions, the CGC, whether to grade or not, blah, blah, blah. This actually creases my pages the most because this new fad of comic book selling is just ridiculous to me. Mm-hmm. I could kind of get behind a newsstand being a little more rare than and in good condition than a direct edition. But when we were growing up collecting comic books in the 90s, the only reason they would have a second print out was because it was like the first Cable or the first Deadpool, you know, like something that was like a big seller. And then people were like, well, let's put a second print out so kids can buy the book, even though it's not the original, blah, blah, blah. And those books were always like, yeah, you might have a copy, but it was like your reader copy, or you just like didn't give a crap about it because you knew like when it came down to it, it's the second print. It's not going to be worth as much. Which was the case.
It's kind of like
until... Oh, go on.
It's kind of like your real, like your girlfriend and then your side hoe, you know?
Yeah.
You don't care if the side hoe gets bent up a little bit or anything, you know, because you're just, you know, going to toss it around later.
So you're going to crease the hoe is what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, some hoes get creased.
Well, you're getting creased that the hoe is getting, you know, she's raising the prices.
Wow.
She was a 9.8. Now she's a 6.
So,
oh man.
So bottom line, you got books like from, you know, 2010 and on, and people are like trying to sell. They're like, well, you know, the third print actually has the least amount of copies. So it's technically more rare. And I want to kick those people in their imaginary balls and their real balls and all their balls, because that is like, yes, it might be factually true, but you know why there's that not that many? Because they didn't need to make that much more, because it was the third print and nobody gave a shit at that point, because the real first appearance or the real important book is that first one.
Mm-hmm. Well, not anymore.
Guys, it's ridiculous. Like what did I see? Somebody had a CGC second print of something and they were like, the prices were astronomical.
My favorite one recently is one Kevin also found, and we found them separately. The dude was selling on Instagram and on eBay, and apparently it sold on eBay, but it was a Ninja Turtles fifth print, number one, and it even said in the title, Rusty Staples and a Strange Smell.
And Jared, guess what, man? 25 bids. It sold, brother.
Oh, my God. God.
Oh, yes.
Somebody's like, you know what? I can't smell things that well anyway, so it's fine. I just close my nose holes when I open the book and I look at it. And the staples, and they're rusty, but that's okay too, because you know things get old. It's fine.
Fellas, COVID has created some serious FOMO.
Yeah, like completely. And if you don't know the lingo, is us. You know, 40-year-old guys know it. It's fear of missing out. But for real, it's like every, but it's just literally, it's like every, it's like bi-monthly. just there's a new trend and somebody just tries to jump on it. And it's like the most, the one I cannot believe is the facsimile copies. That is literally the only thing about the, that's literally, it's a reprint, but sometimes they'll even go so far as to reprint the original ads and stuff like that. But it's still a fucking reprint.
Reprint of a reprint.
Yeah, they did that Hulk 181 recently, and I was at one of our favorite comic shops, We Can Be Heroes, in Chatsworth, California, and Julio, one of the owners there, we were talking about it, and he said, yeah, that they had some copies of Hulk 181. They had a what was called a true facsimile, which means it had all the advertisements and everything, just like the original book did. Right. So it was word for word, page for page. And he said, if you get one of these facsimiles, they were selling them for $20 a piece. And he said, if you get one and you grades out at a 9.8, he said, you can sell it for at least $100.
Yes. Yes. And I don't know why. I
That's there's insane. No
logical reason why.
That's insane.
I think what I'm thinking of is like, you have to look at it from the, okay, so some of us, like, we've been collecting a long time. You know, all three of us,
and yeah, 30 years
game a while. So we know trends and we can follow things pretty well. So getting a Hulk 181 was a pretty high priority on our list for a while, because absolutely, we knew that even though it would cost hundreds of dollars, eventually it would appreciate. It would
long-term payoff.
Gain value. Right. It would gain value over time. So I used my credit card to purchase it. And I had to make payments on that card because of it. But I knew, you know, the $600 purchase I made would eventually become, what is it now, Kevin? It's like $6,000, $7,000.
Yes, $6,000 and going up like every week, it seems.
Right. So with this, like, COVID, like, fear of missing out thing, it's also another thing. It's because there's such a rabid speculation on everything in all the movies and the Marvel fan base and stuff, it's gone through the roof. So people can't afford the 181. And in fact, they're selling the Marvel value stamp from the 181 for hundreds of dollars now. Just
told you about that. Mm-hmm.
And those that don't know, the Marvel value stamp was something that they did in the, what was it, late 60s, early 70s?
Basically the mid-70s.
Mid-70s? Okay, thank you. Where they would do, like, you could cut out this stamp that was in the book, and it would have a different character depending upon the book. And you could cut out the stamp out of the book, and then they had, like, a print ad thing that you could put it on, which was, like, kind of like what your mom would do, like, way back in the day to get free pots and pans at the grocery store. You know, you spend so much money, they give you a stamp, and then you put the stamp on there, and then you go, oh, I got this whole night, a pot and pan and these spoons, and they're great. Well, it was similar to that, but it was just, oh, I collected all of these stamps. It's so cool.
Yep.
But what the kids didn't know is they were depreciating the value of the book because they were cutting out things out of the book. Even though it wasn't a page that had a story, you're still cutting out part of the book, and you're decreasing the value.
And CGC will punish you with that green label if it's taken out.
You know what I just saw too? I just saw a CBCS graded Poe Dameron book number one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was graded a 9, I think like a 9.8.
Mm-hmm.
And on it, they annotated that there was the digital copy sticker was removed from the book.
What? Yeah. Because that's like the new value stamp in a way.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah.
Well, because technically you're not getting the complete book because you're not getting the digital version that you can get, the little stamp. So right. Yeah, I would always actually, when I started buying, like when I was doing my prospecting and getting all the Champions characters, like Miss Marvel and everybody, and all those books, you know, a lot of those books came out when those were starting to be put in them, and I would always either ask or always, like, the first thing I checked was like, is it in there? Is it intact? Good, it's real. Okay.
Yeah, that's ridiculous, because all it is a little sticker that covers the code. Who, you know, I can guarantee you anybody that's speculating on wanting one of these books now isn't going, oh man, I hope there's a digital code in there so I can download this book. No.
Or we just started a new fad right now, and on Instagram people are like, this one does have it. It has the digital sticker on it. It's $50 more.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's exactly what's going to happen. I can almost guarantee it. That is exactly what's going to happen. Now that they're annotating that on, like, the gradings, I don't know if CGC is doing it yet, but CBCS is definitely doing it. So the moment CGC does it, let's be honest, CGC kind of sets the bar for everything.
Yeah, just like PSA for cards.
Yeah, fairly or unfairly, you be the judge. But CGC is setting the bar for this. CBCS and PGX just kind of toe the line, so to speak. And PGX barely does that. I think they're kind of your drunk uncle that comes to the party, stumbles around, knocks over the ham, and then, you know, leans over and farts really loud.
And that's PGX!
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. That's PGX. But bless them. You know, we still love them anyway.
Yeah.
They serve a purpose.
I guess. Sure they do.
Hold
yeah, entertainment
tight.
Alone. Yeah, entertainment alone. The PGX would be like, we got a 9.8 here. Oh, my God. And then CGC looks at it and they're like, yeah, that's an 8.5. Like, damn.
So now okay. Let me ask you, gentlemen, is there any page from a comic book, no matter how old, that you would pay hundreds of dollars for because it was graded?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Action Which, Comics, number one.
For me, Detective Comics 27.
Like if it was just a page from it, you'd buy it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, it's basically like the Dead Sea Scrolls, man. You know, when it comes to those type of books, you know, I'll take a page.
100%. But here's the thing for me. Here's the caveat. It would have to have like Superman or Clark Kent on it somewhere for Action Comics.
Right. Right. Same thing for me. Batman on it.
Right. It can't be just a panel of like.
Or an advertisement or freaking advertisement. I don't care for that.
Right. It has to have some relevance.
I might do it if it was like a more fun comics. What is it? The one like the very first Submariner. It was like a page from that.
Yeah.
Because that thing is like, that's another like tome that I don't even know. Like,
there you go. Yeah. Yeah.
Where you could get that.
Unless we get, Nicolas Cage status, which we still can because our podcast is growing. Yeah. So if we get to Nicolas Cage status and people realize that we're too crazy cool they want to follow us and throw money at us, then great. Then we can go and buy like a whole copy. But until that time, we're going to save our ducats and hope we can get a page.
Well, fellas, you know, things are getting a little more crazy. Some people might even take a piece of a page now. And so
Well, yeah, we just talked about the stamp. That's essentially the same thing. The Marvel Bagger stamp. People are like selling those.
I mean, that's wild. I mean, imagine someone like literally just cutting up a page into 50 pieces. Hey, here's like 1/50th of a page from Action Comics 1.
This is like the Wild West of it too, because they're not graded. It annotates an NG, which is no
that's
grade.
Right. No grade, so, exactly.
The quality of the page or anything is really just up to the individual that wants to purchase it and the seller that's willing to sell it and how much they're willing to pay. Because there's
they bought it.
Right. There's no real marker for the value of it other than, you know, what it's worth to you. So
Or are they just doing simple math and they're like dividing the number of pages into like the max amount for the book?
Action Comics number one is worth $3 million. So one page is actually worth $375,000.
Exactly.
And then 1/50th of that is worth about $12,000.
Yeah. So make a deal.
Make a deal.
9.8. Oh,
we cut out a picture of Clark Kent and just the picture of him and we got a CGC graded on a manila envelope. And that's going to be $500.
What? Or even like this staple is directly from 1938.
I've seen that. I've seen the staples. I'm not joking. Remember, I sent you guys that picture.
Like just the spine with the staples.
There was a guy selling two staples from an Action Comics book.
Wow.
Selling them for a couple hundred dollars.
Wow. And I was joking too. You mean to tell me someone really stupidly did that?
Yes. Yes. I sent you guys this picture a while ago. You must've forgot, but like somebody was selling these staples in like a little Ziploc baggie or something.
He's like, I hired a metallurgist to see if the metal is actually authentic 1940s, American, metal.
Wow. Here's the thing.
You got to think of it this way too, though. A lot of people are like G.I. Joe aficionados, so to speak, when it comes to like action figures or Transformers. Right. And they want to like buy the toy to put it together. But like, you know, Joey that they got it at the yard sale off little Joey, he didn't have the gun for Optimus Prime. But Mark over there, he had the gun. So you go over to Mark and Mark's like, $20 and you can have the gun. And you're like, Jesus Christ, that much? And he's like, you need the gun to complete it, don't you? And you're like, yeah. So then you pay the $20. So let's say you get like an Action Comics number one, and they're like, oh yeah, but there's no staples in it. The staples are gone. Somebody removed the staples or whatever. Then you start to think, how can I put this together to kind of make it seem more complete? And then that guy that's selling those staples for $200, suddenly that doesn't seem like such a bad deal.
Well, first of all, how do you authenticate that the staples are from like 1938?
Well, you hire a wizard.
Yeah,
I guess so.
Yeah,
because just like Jared said about, you know, the metallurgical specialist who has to break down the steel from 1930s, you know, that's crazy.
He could have taste the rust and be like, yeah, that's at least 38.
Wow. you know, what's going to be next, guys? It's going to be like the ink that was used. We can prove this ink was used on National Periodical Publication books back in 1938, 1939. We knew this ink was used on the first Batman books.
I'm sitting on a gold mine because I've got one of the copies of that Squadron Supreme trade paperback that has Mark Gruenwald's ashes in it.
Oh, yes. So,
I think that copy is eventually people are going to be desiring of that once, like, we could clone better, because then they'll be like, dude, maybe we can get some residual DNA from the comic book and remake Mark Gruenwald. And then he'll write $500,000 of Captain America.
Yeah, we can bring back Gene Simmons when he passes, too.
That's true.
He put
From the Kiss comic.
Yeah, yeah.
Notice you didn't say any of the other members of KISS. They're really sad right now.
Paul Stanley?
I don't think any of them put their blood in there, though, did they? I thought it was just
dropped like a blood drop in there.
Oh, really? So they mixed all their blood in? Oh, my God. Imagine what kind of bastard child you get out of that.
Do it. Make it a comic book.
Yeah. They would have like some mongoloid, like KISS member that his tongue was just like down to the floor. And he had like kitten whiskers and shit.
It'd be kind of like the Venom tongue.
Yeah.
Maybe that was how the idea for Venom came to be.
This was a terrible. They'd be like, this was a terrible idea.
So then, bottom line, do you guys think that I actually think this stuff right now is passing and it's not going to hold up. I just don't think it's going to hold up. I don't think at the end of the day, people are going to really be like, oh, if I could spend the money, I'll get the third print when I can, you know, actually just work at it and get the first print of this character. You know,
well, when it comes to Turtles, I think this will hold up because, like, you know, I was telling Donald yesterday, the third print is pretty much out of league now for people. You know, it's just too expensive. So now the fourth, fifth, and sixth print is going to be a new thing. So if something like that will probably hold its own. But something like Ms. Marvel. Yeah, know, the seventh print selling for like, you know, whatever, $120. That doesn't make any sense. That's not going to hold up.
Completely stupid. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not going to hold up.
That or
Miles Morales, maybe. You know,
I think that I'm going to start collecting sixth prints because there's not many books that have sixth prints.
Or seventh or eighth, yeah.
Yeah, so maybe I'll just start doing that.
Well, what's the hot new thing, too? The second appearances now.
Yeah, second and third.
Can't get Giant Size X-Men 1 right now. I'm going to get their second appearance. And then can't get
Giant Size X-Men number 1 is the second appearance of Wolverine. So, that's like the people that wanted the Hulk 181. They couldn't afford it. So then they were like, well, I'll get the Giant Size X-Men number 1.
And then now that's out. You can't get that. And that's X-Men 94.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And I've heard a lot of heat on that X-Men 94, too. Like, some people were saying, oh, this is a better book than Giant Size X-Men number 1. And I'm like, well...
You don't say.
No. Because it's not the first Colossus. It's not the first Storm.
All Bronze Age. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Storm, Nightcrawler, Colossus. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thunderbird. He lasts.
Well, if you want to play the game that way, then you know what? ASM 300 really isn't the best, you know, appearance of Venom. It's really 316. I mean, look at that cover.
He's on the cover, right? Yeah.
Here you go, Jared. I just looked it up. $199 just sold a couple weeks ago for the seventh print of Ms. Marvel number 1, sir.
How much?
$199. And right below that, $146.95 for another seventh print that was sold of Ms. Marvel and Ms. Marvel 1.
What do you guys think about this? Here's the thing. Like, so, for example... There's first appearance of Scott Lang, Yeah. And then a couple, you know, several issues later, you'll get the first appearance of Scott Lang as Ant-Man. So you get the first Scott Lang in an Avengers book, and then later in a Marvel premiere book, you get the first him as Ant-Man.
Right.
Why do you think that people that so rabidly want the first appearance of him as Ant-Man don't want the first appearance of Scott Lang himself? Why do you think that is?
That's bizarre.
Because really
Kamala Strange. I mean, I get it. I get it, and I don't. It's like, I get it because it's like, well, he's just a civilian there. He's not like really cool. But it's
kind of like, it's kind of like James Rhodes in a way. Like his first appearance in Iron Man is kind of like it doesn't sell for as you can get that pretty cheap. But you want the War Machine book, now it's a whole different story.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if I was a collector and I was looking at the trends, that's what I would look at next. I would look at, okay, so I want to start getting the first appearances of these characters before they're in the costume. You know, they're just the first appearance of that person himself. Mm-hmm. All of that stuff, well, not all of it, but most of that stuff is still pretty cheap. Like, considerably cheaper than a lot of the other things. So I would start getting those, load up on those, and then start telling people, oh, this is the true first appearance of the character. Like, if it wasn't for them first appearing, how could they appear as that character? It's like the chicken before the egg or vice versa, you know?
He did that with Carol Danvers a few years back, as you recall.
Yeah.
With the Marvel Superheroes 13 book, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Or 12. Well,
they milked her a bunch because there's the first Carol Danvers, there's the first Miss Marvel, there's the first her as Captain Marvel. And then in between that, there's like the first her as Binary. There's a, it's like
yeah,
over the place.
They milked that one hardcore,
Yes, it certainly did.
I guess what really bugs me about the like the newer books and them going like, oh, six print is like you go through all this crap. What it's like spitting in the face of say of the real true first appearance. It's like this is the actual book that people should care about. This is the important one. This is the important one. But now you're going, but because it's got some lower print run. And like as I said before, the owner a lower print run is because everybody had the book by that point. So it's like, it's not that like that should actually be more valuable. It's just common sense that they made some of those because by that point, makes me pissed. Makes me
just, you know, exceptions are rule.
Goddamn thing.
But there are exceptions to the rules. Let's say, you know, it's like a new book and it's like 5,000 copies were printed. You know, they expect much from it. You know, it sells out, it goes crazy, and then you do a second print and so forth. That's kind of, that's a different story. But if it's something that, like you said, if it was already out there and everyone got it, what's the big deal?
Think of it this way, though. I'm thinking about collecting the first appearance of the writer that created the story. So, at what point though do I stop? So, I was thinking about it and I was like, well, let's say I wanted the first appearance of, Cosmic Ghost Rider, right? So, that's Donny Cates that created that, you know, as the writer, he created it. So, do I want to kidnap Donny Cates or do I want to acquire Donny Cates' mother or father? And
I think a true origin documentation would be his birth certificate because,
So I need to procure Donny Cates' birth certificate. Yeah.
You can have him.
Do you know what state he was born in?
I heard he just eats too much. I don't want to feed him.
Do you know what state he was born in?
No, I don't. I don't.
If you find out the state he was born in, then that way, you know, we can go to the, you know, the Hall of Records in that state.
Yeah.
You guys, check this out. I just got it back from CGC. 9.8 Todd McFarlane birth certificate. and it's got his baby feet stamped on it.
So, aww, yeah. That's adorable.
That's kind of technically also his first signature, if you think about it.
That's true. That's the spawn of Todd McFarlane, right? That's his, like, that's when he was spawned fourth. So, yeah.
In Canada.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, Donny Cates was born in Dallas, Texas. So there we go. We got to go to the Hall of Records in Dallas, Texas.
Got it. Yep. And he was at the Savannah College of Arts and Design. And he was influenced by Jason Aaron, Stephen King, and Neil Gaiman. Look at that.
Look at that. Good for you,
Cates. Yep. We're heading to Dallas, Texas, buddy. We're going to get your birth certificate.
The true first appearance.
Yeah. I'm going to be rich. I'm going to DCS that. I'm going to have him sign it at a convention, too. That'll be the weirdest signing he'll ever see. He'll be like, I've seen some weird signings, but this is my birth certificate. And I'll be like, yep. Sign it.
Now, see, my prediction after, I don't know, I guess within the next, you know, 6 to 8 months, year, of as COVID kind of, you know, as we come out of it, is that a lot of this will die down. I think some things will stick around. Like, I think online sales aren't going anywhere because they're just, they work too well. It's like an instant, it's just smart. Mm-hmm. But I do think some of the crazy buying, I think what is expensive will stay expensive. And then go up. But I think this whole like looking for the next thing will die down. And now don't take my word for it, because at one point I did predict that reality TV would finally end. It was like 30 years ago. And we still have reality TV.
The real world started all, and it's never going to end now.
No, they're having a reunion. They're doing
that's
like
true.
A,
that's true.
A real world one.
Season one, yep.
Insane.
That's adorable.
Yeah. They're all like 95. Right? Yeah. Just oxygen tanks in
it's
each
like
room.
Like World War II veterans.
You think you know reality TV? I was getting into fights in front of cameras before you were born.
I was from the Great War. Well,
fights
I,
and
I,
cameras in standard definition.
Yep.
Not that 4K crap.
You're basically standard definition, Kevin.
Analog, not digital.
Yeah, you're on the tube TV, buddy. Yeah, yep, yep. Well, I think that's probably. I think we've vented enough. I think we got this out of our system. We should probably call it. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Get off our lawn. We said it enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. When we get to our next episode of What Creases Your Pages, you're going to be even more creased.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep, yep, yep. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in. You can find our podcast. We do a live podcast almost every Monday on YouTube Live under the Rumble Spoon Productions page on YouTube. You can find us there. We are live every Monday from 7:30 p.m. Pacific time until 9 p.m. Pacific time. Sometimes we go a little later, but we try to keep it within that timeline. We do some great interviews, have some battle royales with characters and things like that. We also have our audio pods, which you're listening to right now, this glorious audio pod that we do. We have that on Spotify. We have that on Spreaker. We have that on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, and a whole host of others. If you can't find us, reach out to us on one of our platforms for social media, like Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, and let us know what form of a podcast company basically that you can't find us on, and we will get on that platform for you so you can listen to us on there. We will do that for you because we love you and we want to take care of you.
Especially Jared, he would definitely take care of you.
Right. Yeah. And speaking of that, my name is Kevin.
I guess my name is now Jared.
I'm Donald.
And
I'm Kevin.
No, I'm Kevin.
Sorry. Wait, no, I'm the third print embossed cover from Walmart.
Die cut, torn pages.
I am the special hologram edition of Jared.
I'm Kevin with rusty staples and a slight smell.
Oh, come on.
If you don't find our 1938 sweet, scented, musky smelling Action Comics number page 36, with the Marvel value stamp in it for some weird reason, then we'll see you at the illustrious Bahama-like, Bahamanian comic book
shop.
See, we switched. We switched.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, you guys did great. Thank you for tuning in, everybody. Have a good night.
Be safe.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.